B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
We've criticized every single player. The reason that it's so easy to criticize Ben Simmons is because I guarantee you right now, 95% of our listening audience has picked up a basketball and either walked onto a court in a playground or in their driveway and just shot around for fun, whether to practice for their own game or just to have fun. And what a professional basketball player, as talented as Ben Simmons is, refuses, not that he's bad at it, but refuses to even attempted in a game, a jump, not even a three, but a jump shot. It is mind-blowing to people when somebody is that talented athletically in their sport and refuses to do the most basic thing that comes to that game.
Listen, I agree with you on that point. I'm confused as well. But I'm also confused that Joel Embiid won't go down low with Brett Brown.
And Oliver, you've never heard us talk about that?
I have heard you talk about that.
Yeah,
it's always on Ben Simmons. He could have a game where he had 24 points, 15 rebounds, and 11 assists, and people say, well, we would have won, or he should have done better because he should have shot.
Mm-hmm.
They won the game. After this season is over, if he is doing what he's doing right now and they don't make the championship, then it's fair to me. It's fair to say, look, you need to be better. Brett Brown, you need to be better after this season. But right now, as it stands right now for me, I believe we just need to let it play out and see what goes on.
No, we are letting it play out. And thanks for the call, Oliver. I appreciate it. We are definitely letting it play out. No one on this show is saying trade Ben Simmons or any of these guys, really, for the most part, right now. That's the thing that we're trying to get people away from at this point. But if you go beyond this season and it's the same Ben Simmons, I could see why people would be interested in moving on. As of right now, I still think Ben Simmons, like, I think Joel Embiid is already, when he's playing, an MVP candidate. I think Ben Simmons can get to that point. I don't think Tobias Harris can get to that point. I don't think Al Horford can or Josh Richardson. That's why I look at a guy that's supposed to be one of the crown jewels of the process, and that's Ben Simmons. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast, 9 o'clock hour, brought to you by The Bagster. Dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebagster.com. Before this season even started, Ben Simmons' jumper was a lot of talk throughout the offseason, the posting of videos on social media of him working on that out in Los Angeles. And one of the people to really push the envelope was our good friend, Mr. Jack McCaffrey. Now, this is the back and forth. We have the audio back on October 3rd, I believe it was, of Jack and Ben going back to, back and forth a little bit on that jumper. Here it is.
Yeah, I've had shots.
Yeah, I've
had shots.
I'm an all-star. So, ladies and gentlemen, that Bulldog reporter, that investigative reporter, Jack McCaffrey, the Delco Times, on the line with us right now. Jack, how are you, sir?
Okay, Mark.
Great to have you on, man. It's been a while since we spoke. I'm thinking of you, and I've been thinking of you all season long, because I think the greatest motivation to Ben Simmons would be not making an all-star team, as he more or less kind of bragged to you when you pressed him on whether or not he'd shoot in a game.
It means a lot to him. He's very proud of being an all-star. Seems to be more proud of that than actually becoming the player he could be. He really goes back to well before that. He went, what did he take, one at LSU, maybe two, and then refused to basically campaign to not play in the NIT. This is a guy that's strictly about himself. It always has been. And he might be able to win with a guy like that. I doubt it long term.
So is it a matter of self-motivation, or is it a matter of a head coach not getting to him?
It'd be interesting to see if some other head coach could get to him. My answer would be no. He would no other coach would get to him, because he wants to prove that he, and there's a value to this. He, in his mind, he's the greatest player to ever walk the face of the earth. And you cannot tell him otherwise. That's what he is. And he's going to do it his way, and he's going to continue to do it his way. He did it his way in college. He's done it his way since he's been with the Sixers. It's when Brett Brown came out and said, I want him to take 1 3-pointer a game. He hasn't taken one since. That's not a coincidence. That's a message to the coach that I'll do it my way.
Absolutely. And you're the second reporter this week to highlight how he marches to the beat of his own drum. Keith Pompey of the Inquirer also said that. And I'm with both of you. I'm with, and you guys are around it more than I am. This seems like a guy that only relies on self-motivation. And to not have that one basic aspect of the game, at least get to a 10-foot jump shot is just, it's unbelievable to me. And then the other part of it is improving the foul shot as well. You've seen him work on it. You've seen him pregame work on it. You've seen him in practice work on it in the rare occasion the NBA team practices this time of year. But it's just, it's an easy part of the game that he seems to just have a mental block for.
You saw a little bit of improvement towards the end of last year on his foul shooting. So it's there. But if I'm coaching against him in the fourth quarter, I'm putting him on the line. He just can't make a free throw. It's brutal.
Jack, have you noticed any different ways that the team has handled him as far as, practices? We hear what Brett said publicly about him shooting, but are they getting more frustrated with him? Have you noticed anything different that they're trying to get him to, I don't know, to think about it more or maybe pulling away and not bringing it up to him at all?
Sure. You noticed it must have been 3 or 4 games ago where it was brought up to Brett Brown before the game. You might have been there, Bob, and somebody said, you know, it's been 15 games, 20 games since you said take 1 3-pointer a game, and he hasn't done it since. And paraphrasing Brett here, he said something to the effect of, well, yeah, I guess I failed at that. And he almost kind of laughed out loud. It was out. You asked me what I saw. What I saw in that exchange was the head coach saying, forget about it, I'm done with this. And
wow.
He's done about as much as he can to motivate this guy to take a 3-pointer. He's not doing it. And the more you think about it, they had a pretty decent answer to that during the playoffs last year when Jimmy Butler said, I mean, give me the ball. I'll be the point guard. I'll shoot it. You go over to the side. And that was had a chance to work if Jimmy Butler wasn't his own different kind of a pain in the neck in the locker room, and they had to make a decision which one of those to get rid of. So they chose Butler. Okay, Richardson turned out to be a little better than I thought he would be, but yeah, they went with Simmons. He's going to be your point guard, and if you go to the playoffs and your point guard won't shoot it and won't score in the fourth quarter and can't make a foul shot, let me spoil alert, you're going to lose.
Jack, I've been around you many years, and I know that you take sides on things. I didn't know you were this anti-Ben Simmons, and you're just convinced they cannot win with him, and you're done with this? I mean, what is the next step in your mind?
No.
I like the way
he can defensive rebound, he can push, he can get off the court. His entry passes are legendary. How quickly he sees the open man. He can get to the rim on a Tuesday night in January against the Nets. He can score. Even if he's not shooting from three-pointer, he can score. You can win with it. Like I just said a minute ago, I thought they had the answer with Butler as your point guard and Simmons off the ball a little bit, playing closer to the rim. That was the answer. I'm not so down with the guy that I was down on Markelle Fultz. And I still am. That guy can't play basketball. But Ben Simmons sure knows how to play that game. He just is a little bit too much with his refusal to shoot.
So just to clarify real quick, earlier I thought you said that they can't win with him. You mean currently constructed maybe that they...
Playoffs.
Okay.
You cannot win in the playoffs if you have a point guard who can't score in the fourth quarter, won't take an outside shot, and can't make a free throw.
Got you.
You cannot win in the playoffs that way. Now, who does that describe? You figure it out.
I think we got it. Speaking now with Jack McCaffrey of the Delco Times. As for the rest of the team, Tobias Harris certainly came on stronger in this last game that he played 34 points. It was great to see that from him. The other part of this, though, is Al Horford has been struggling a lot since he has come here. Where is his comfort zone, you think, in this offense? And will he find it while he's here with the Sixers?
It's going to be difficult because they keep switching his positions. Of course, that's what the value of hiring him was. It was his versatility, and he can play various positions. The question is comfort level. He's obviously, to me, more comfortable playing in the paint. And he's been pretty comfortable with that while Joel's been out. Clearly, when Joel comes back, Al Horford's got to go somewhere else. Elsewhere on the court. So his comfort level could be disrupted again. But he's better, more comfortable in the paint, and you see that coming. He's a professional. He's a good guy to have around the team. My guess is he'll figure it out. He is the kind of guy that figures it out in the playoffs and finds a way to win.
I want to switch gears with you here, Jack, and talk a little bit about this Astros cheating scandal. And I know you've been in the game a long time, man. Yeah. This seems to be a next level type of cheating.
It's certainly, and it's one of the reasons why I'm a Hall of Fame voter, as some people know. I'd never vote for Sammy Sosa because he manipulated the equipment. And that's the problem. That's the problem you have here. Stealing signs has been in baseball forever. You're using additional equipment, video or whatever, to do it. It was a horrible, horrible scandal, and at least one of the two top scandals of the week, in my opinion, behind a booster, a former booster player, handing out what appeared to be money to college players on the field for winning a game. To me, the best thing that happened to LSU was this Astros scandal. That LSU scandal was horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible. Horrible, blatant disregard for the rules.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I don't know. I was more offended at the fact that Odell Beckham slapped a cop's ass than I was at him handing out money. And I'm certainly more upset over the Astros thing. The Odell Beckham thing with cash, I laughed at. I have to be honest.
Odell's a booster?
Well, you're handing money to players right then and there.
If you're a former pro player, if you're a pro player who came out of that program, yeah, you're considered a booster.
Okay.
And you're handing money. Like, there's no secrecy about it. Mm-hmm. It was, like, out of the open.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In those players' defense, they kind of were caught off guard. It's like, I guess they could give it back to them. It's like they're probably going to have to.
If you're a senior, hey, more power to you.
If you're standing there and somebody's how are you supposed to react?
Exactly. And Jack, finally, the name we haven't really brought up much this morning, the latest name to surface for the offensive coordinator position of the Philadelphia Eagles. Apparently now they're looking at James Urban, who is an assistant coach on the Ravens staff. He worked with Andy Reid here for a number of years in Philadelphia. What would you think of that name coming here to join up with the Eagles?
Well, the last Andy Reid assistant was Doug Peterson. He did a pretty good job, so why not?
Would you consider Deuce Daly, or do you think that ship sailed?
That ship's clearly sailed. What I don't agree with is firing a guy and then hiring the guy who was below. In other words, they fired the offensive coordinator. I'm not going to fire the offensive coordinator and then promote the guy who worked for the offensive coordinator. I never approved of firing the head coach and hiring the assistant.
Understood.
That'll be up to the Eagles, but I as a matter of policy, if I'm firing the coordinator, then everybody who's on that offensive coaching staff kind of is in that same boat, in my opinion.
Gotcha. Jack McCaffrey, Delco Times. Always great catching up with you, man. Have a great weekend.
Hey, thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Jack, buddy. Jack McCaffrey. Here's what I love about Jack. There's never, like, Jack's never like, I got no opinion on it. Jack is a guy that is, it's black or white, man.
Yeah,
gray does not exist. I love that about Jack McCaffrey.
It's funny, the different columnists that you have, like the Bob Ford, who, congratulations, just got named Pennsylvania Sports Writer of the Year.
He did, along with John Clark.
Sports Broadcaster of the Year, yes. But, like, Bob you can sit with, and it's like, go ahead, talk to me, tell me. Like, Bob takes everything in and kind of formulates, okay.
Methodical.
Yeah, and it's kind of food for thought. Jack's like, no, it's this way. That's it. And you talk to Jack, he's the same way. Like, I walk into the press room, hey, Jack, how's it going? How's it going? Are you kidding me? You know, and it's whoa. So yeah, he is a columnist epitomized.
Jack, how are you? Great. Next day, Jack, how are you? Terrible.
Yeah. There's no gray.
James Urban, we haven't gotten too much there, Trey. Actually, a caller brought him up yesterday.
Uh-huh.
James Urban, currently, in 2018, he's on the Ravens staff. He was here with Andy Reid for a number of years. He's an older guy, veteran, definitely a veteran coach. He's a guy that, or assistant coach, I should say. He's a guy that I think would carry weight behind him, that's for sure. I think he's a guy that does command respect. And what I've read about him is that he's a guy that also commands the room, which is something that, for a guy that's coming in to replace a guy like Mike Rowe, who is at least well entrenched with this version of the Eagles team, they're going to need somebody to come in and really be able to control that locker room, mm-hmm. the offensive side of things at least.
Yeah, so I was reading up on him, and like he started out as an intern with us in 2004.
And then he was quality control.
Yeah. So
I think he got as high as assistant head coach at one point. It's like Childress didn't want it. Childress stayed offensive coordinator and didn't want assistant head coach or something. So it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
He went to Cincinnati, had some mild success there in terms of Cincinnati's success.
Right.
And then, you know, look, Lamar Jackson was the MVP of the league this year.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to think he worked wonders with him.
Yeah. As a QB coach in Baltimore. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, because Greg Roman's the OC there. Mm-hmm. It makes sense.
Yeah, especially because, I mean, one of the things about Lamar Jackson was his throwing. And then making sure that you know, where he was putting the ball in. You can see that was definitely a point of emphasis for him this year.
Yeah, and as John Harbaugh said after right before the playoffs started, hey, not bad for a running back.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to Brandon in Philly. Brandon, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Brandon?
What's up, guys?
Hey.
I was just calling before I started my rant about Ben. I was watching the Drew Pearson video of him being crushed, and it's great to see Carmichael get in there over him.
Brandon, real quick, on that note, I'm proud of myself for growing as a human being here.
I know, right?
Because this is what I did. I was at my computer, and I saw the Drew Pearson tweet of him looking all depressed with his family all around him that he didn't make it to the NFL. And I was ready. I started tweeting, but I didn't hit send because I've grown as a human.
Yeah.
I started tweeting like, hey, Eagles fans, let's show a lot of respect to Drew Pearson, who was one of the highlights of the 2017 draft on the steps of the Art Museum. But I didn't tweet it because I know that'd be a trolling job and people would then make an older man feel worse. And I didn't want to do that because I've grown as a human being. Brandon, your thoughts, my friend.
Go Bird. All right, anyway, Ben Simmons, right? Now, I'm hearing a lot of people call up here. Some people vouching. Y'all guys are trying to vouch for him. Ben Simmons is really killing his team. I heard Oliver call earlier. He's talking about other players performing. Other players can't do their job if Ben Simmons is in the way all the time.
Uh-huh.
He's always in the way. The spacing is terrible. He's not the point guard. He's not a Philly guy. He shows no emotion. Have you ever seen him? If he's the point guard, have you ever seen him put Joel on the block to pull somebody up?
No.
I've never seen him demand anybody to go anywhere on the floor. Never. And as a point guard, that's your job. He makes nobody better. Can you name one guy on his team he's made better?
Nope.
Nobody.
But here's the thing. As far as the point, and as far as the Philly guy thing, and Brandon, thanks for the call. I don't want to go down the road of whether or not he brings his lunch pail to work or whatever the cliches might be. I don't know who he's made better, but if you do have the point guard argument, and I know some people will actually use this, he's a point guard, he's not supposed to shoot. Sometimes, like, Eric Snow wasn't a lights-out shooter, but he was a pretty good point guard, and he had 10-foot consistency to be able to hit that 10-foot jump shot. That's it. That helps with spacing in the game.
Yeah.
That's all I'm asking for. If you're a great point guard, you understand spacing. And his inability to shoot from mid-range and in hurts that spacing.
We're going to funny extremes here where, he's hurting the team guy. We're not that. But just ask yourself this question. If you're a true basketball fan, whatever, would you take Ben Simmons on your team?
Yeah.
Because I don't care. If I'm starting an NBA team, I'll take him on the team any day.
But I might build the rest of my roster around him.
Yeah. Okay. I would make sure
to pick up every shooter in the gym.
Yeah, to the extremists out there that are just saying, like, he's hurting this team.
I think he gums up the half-court set sometimes.
Yeah.
In crunch time. When the game is most important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's 23 years old.
Yeah.
I'll have him leading a break before anybody else in this league.
His max money hits next year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
I think he and Carson are the same for 2020 is going to be a very good year for them.
Uh-huh.
But when I watch him, I just see this one. It seems like a very solvable problem, and that's what makes you bang your head against the wall. Like there is, like when we watch Donovan, and we've talked about this before, there were a lot of things he did wrong in his rookie year or mistakes he would make consistently in his rookie year that he made in his last year in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that was touch passes. A lot of it was the worm burners and all that, right? And we've talked about that stuff at length. It's stuff that we never saw him get better at. But he could bomb the ball downfield with phenomenal accuracy, 50 yards down the field.
Mm-hmm.
But it was that one little thing about his game that we didn't like. We're saying the same thing with Ben. Are we going to watch him start his career in Philadelphia and end it with a lot of the same mistakes? Look, has he gotten better defensively? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do we see him try to take over a game more so in the first half? Yeah, you could definitely say that. But then again, you also see a guy 2 years ago in the playoffs was held to 1 point against the Boston Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen him get better. We've seen him improve. It's this one basic aspect of the game that we have not seen him improve upon yet. And that's what's so frustrating. Because I don't want to go watching his career in Philadelphia without him developing that part of it. He's 23. Like,
yeah.
There's time to develop it. Now would be a pretty damn good time for it.
Yeah, it really would be. I mean, that's, you know, Brett Brown has talked about, and if he truly believes it, that point guards don't get to their peak until they're about 25, 26, mm-hmm. big men around 27. So, yeah, you're growing him to that peak then. And now is the time to do that growing. I agree with you.
Is it more frustrating? Because it's not a matter of laziness. Like, Ben puts in the work.
Oh, yeah.
But when you watch that in pregame, if you're a fan that goes to shoot around, or you watch that in practice as a member of the media, is it more frustrating to know that he's not lazy, that the work ethic is there, it's just a choice to not do it within the game?
Yeah, it's
right.
It's frustrating to me. It's confusing. I don't understand it. I have seen him work hard, you know, for many, many years on that jump shot, on exactly what you're looking for. I've seen him come off picks and shoot 15 footers at practice for, you know, hour after practice doing it, shooting threes. We've all seen it. If you get to the arena a little bit early, you'll see him on the foul line. You'll see him at the 3-point line, everything. It just confuses the hell out of me that he has improved it, but he won't implement it at all.
Like, I know the guy puts in the work. I mean, what does he miss? 5 games in the last 3 years? Like that?
Oh my God!
The guy wants to be out there.
He's mm-hmm. a beast.
It's this one little aspect of his game that's just like, nah, I'm good.
Pull out the jumper, just a little bit.
Let's get.
My bad for having to step out.
All good, brother.
My son's school called me. Uh-oh. Whenever that happens, I'm like, ah, what's going on? They're like, hey, your son's not in school right now, so I had to call my missus. What's going on? Where's Tristan?
Oh, no.
Oh, he's home. All right, then. Why didn't he?
How about a text message?
Just something. You know. Mm-hmm. I want to be in the circle of trust.
He's not sick, is he?
Nah, he just kept him home because we're flying here.
Oh, yeah,
down
yeah.
to Florida.
Mental health day.
Yeah, yeah.
You're
yeah.
flying to Florida for
getaway
what
day.
Oh, reason again?
Oh,
it's getaway day, yes.
For my part to be named after me.
That's what, right.
What's the weather down there today,
Trey? It's like 70 degrees.
I saw the press release. It got tweeted out.
Oh, yeah?
I saw it's Blue Chew Park. I can't wait for Blue Chew William Wyatt Trey Thomas Park right. in DeLand, Florida.
In DeLand, Florida. Yeah.
See, a whole generation of kids now are going to grow up in DeLand, Florida. And the place where they hang, whatever nickname they gave it, let's go to TT Park or let's mm-hmm. go to Thomas Park, whatever
yeah.
it is,
yeah.
you're going to be in, you know, a big part of their life.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
They're going to call it a day at the Tray.
A day at the Tray. There it is.
That's amazing, man.
Yeah,
that is
awesome.
That is really pretty amazing. Cool. Also amazing is when at 9:50 we all drink the Smirnoff Ices that you iced us with to start the show at 5:57 in the morning. In case you missed it, folks, Trey said, hey, everyone stop. Like, I said, good morning, and he's like, well, hold on. Everybody look under their seats. We all looked under our seats. There were Smirnoff Ices taped to our seats. You iced us, you bastard. 610-632-0975. This is how our day is starting.
Yes.
Coming up, Howard, Mitch, Chauncey, Gino, Calvin. We'll talk to you guys coming up in a minute here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farsetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right. Trey's got to get on a fine flight a little bit later today to get a park named after him. 9:50, we will have to...
Normal reason to catch flight. Do you have anything named after you, Mark? Or any? Did you ever get any honor like that?
I'm in my grade school's Hall of Fame. I don't know why.
Wow.
I think I'm the most successful stupid student they've ever had. I think that's notable.
Okay.
Like some kids are like, yeah, learning? I was a C student. The world is run by C students. I was like a D student. And I wasn't a bad kid. I was just horrible at learning stuff. Which is not the right skill set to have in the schooling system. Howard, Westchester. How about you, Bob? You have anything named after you?
No, I'm good. I had named a kid after me. That's about it.
That counts. That's a trophy. Howard, Westchester, what's going on?
Hey. Yeah, you're all good. Have a great day.
You too.
Thanks, right. Howard.
Howard, thanks.
Yo, what's going on?
Where are you, Howard?
I am in Westchester right now doing deliveries.
All right.
Yeah. It's crazy how long you be on the phone sometimes and you, like, lose your thunder a little bit, you know, as you, like, waiting.
Mm-hmm.
But before Jack got on, he was talking about Ben Simmons and, like, how... You know, he was just talking about, like, yeah, I'm an all-star, though. And I feel like when he made the Rookie of the Year, I feel like we backed him because we wanted him to have that Rookie of the Year. But, like, it's almost like he didn't really, you know, get to have that by himself because he could have had that taken from him. You know what I'm saying? I feel like even right now, the all-star game, you know, if he doesn't make this, we're going to say, oh, you need to get better. He's going to be like, I got snubbed. He's not going to take it as serious as we want him to take it. Ben is, like, one-sided in his thinking, just like Dak said. Like, he's not going to – we're going to be like, oh, you know, you shouldn't have made it. You know, shoot some jump shots or do whatever you need to do to make the team better or make yourself great. And he's like, nah, I got snubbed that year. You know what I mean? Oh, well. We'll see what next year is about.
I mean, look, that could very well be the case, Howard, and I just hope that it's not, because we all want to see him do better. Like, I think we all champion the cause for him to be Rookie of the Year because, yeah, you can only be Rookie of the Year once, so why not give him, and then hopefully that'll just be, all right, great, Rookie of the Year, now build from there. You could be Rookie of the Year, you could be an All-Star, you could also be a guy that ends up, I don't know, being in the MVP conversation.
I think Ben Simmons stood in his room, you know what I'm saying? Like, and, you know, he watched everything go on, like, oh, Rookie of the Year, this. He wanted all this stuff for himself, you know what I'm saying? You know, why not? You know what I mean? Go after all that. But you got to also play the game and play it as a great – intensity was also in all those great players, you know what I'm saying? And I had another point as far as the – you guys were talking about laughing, you know, with I think it was Altuve and Kawhi.
Yes,
Leonard.
You
ever seen the movie Solo? It was on VHS. My grandpa showed me this movie a while back.
Solo, like, with robot. Mario Van Peebles?
He was bald dude.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, Mario Van Peebles bald dude.
He was trying to laugh in the forest with the kids, and all the birds would fly away. You know what I mean? Because he was trying to laugh because he was a robot. And that's like what Kawhi Leonard is, literally.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. Solo really didn't resonate with me much. I do know it was an action movie. I do know it starred Mario Van Peebles. He played Malcolm X in the Muhammad Ali movie with Will Smith. But, I'm sorry. But, Howard, Howard, what are you doing Wednesday night?
Wednesday night, whatever you want me to do, bro. What's up?
All right.
Damn. I think I'm going to move on. Actually, no.
Just
whatever you down.
Well, my backyard needs raking. Howard, you want to go see Temple basketball?
Yeah, I'm down.
There it is. You're going to go see Temple basketball, buddy. Thanks for the call, man. Now we're going to put you on hold, and you're going to go see Temple men's basketball take on Cincinnati Wednesday night, January 22nd at 7 p.m. at the Lee Corps Center. It's meme night at the game. For tickets, visit owlsticks.com. Now we're all better people. Chauncey, what's going on, Chauncey?
Connor Barwin will be in the house.
That's right. That's right. Since he's going to be there, maybe Jason Kelsey. I don't know.
Maybe.
What's going on, Chauncey?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. I called in to talk about Ben Simmons. There's nothing wrong with Ben Simmons.
All right.
Ben Simmons has the same stats that Magic Johnson had over his first 3 years of his career. The only difference between Magic and Ben, Magic was a better free throw shooter in his third year.
Oh, so Magic was better?
In his third year, free throw shoot. But all the other stats, they're identical.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's no better than Ben Simmons was during his 3-year period. They're identical. I went and checked it because I kept saying, why are these people ragging on Ben Simmons? Ben Simmons, he needs to work on his free throw shooting if he needs to work on anything.
Mm-hmm.
If he got his free throw shooting up, he'd be a better player. Because like you say, when you get into the playoffs, they're going to foul him because he can't shoot free throws.
Mm-hmm.
He's a horrible free throw shooter. Mm-hmm. But the rest of his game, he's not the problem, and neither is Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid is the number one guy at his position in the block. Most people say he needs to get more in the block. There's nobody that's in the block at his position more than Joel Embiid. Nobody in the whole entire league. So they need to stop that saying like, oh, he needs to get that. He's in the block more than anybody at his position. At the center position, there's nobody in the block more than Joel Embiid. Ben Simmons is fine. It's the rest of them guys that suck.
Jeez.
They suck.
Do you think,
all of them.
Do you think Ben can work all on keeping that aggression and that same aggression that he starts that game with in the second half?
Yeah, but it doesn't matter if the rest of the guys suck. They suck.
That's a good point. Let's not act like that's not a good point.
They should have never got rid of J.J. Redick. That's what they need with him.
Well, I didn't think they were going to give him $26
million. Yeah, but you got to bring somebody else in that can do what he does. They have nobody that can do what J.J. Redick does on their team. Nobody. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
They have no three-point shooters.
Right. Chauncey, I hear that, and that's why you've heard Brett say so many times that he has to grow a bomber when it comes to a guy like Furkan Korkmaz or maybe use Matisse Thybulle in that role. But real quick, you say Magic Johnson got better at foul shooting? Let's see here. You look through his entire NBA career, and he never from the free throw line shot below 76%.
Yeah, he was a pretty good free throw shooter. He was 86% lifetime.
That's pretty good at shooting free throws.
Or 85, I'm sorry.
And has Ben, what's Ben's highest average points per game for a season?
Yeah, I think it was 17, not close to 18.
All right, so he's Magic's 18, and then 21, 18, and then for the rest of his career, he was 19 and a half.
Yeah, he had a 24 year in there. I don't know what that was all about. I don't know if Kareem was hurt in most, 86, 87, yeah. Magic was 24 points a game.
Regardless, I'm going to hold off on the all-time great comparisons. There might be numbers that are similar, and I know the producer of the Mike Bisignelli show for NBC Sports Philadelphia, Dan Roach, tweeted this stat out the other day saying that tonight in Ben Simmons' 20th NBA game, and this was just the other night, NBA players to average 16 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists over their first 200 games. Oscar Robertson, Magic Johnson, and Ben Simmons. I think that's the stat our man was referring to. I'm still not putting them in the Magic Johnson conversation. I'm going to wait on that one. Those are numbers that you can't argue with, and those are nice. But Oscar Robertson, Magic Johnson are two of the all-time greats. Ben Simmons, again, has that potential. And it feels weird because I don't want to rag on a guy, but I'm just saying you got the easiest part of the game, most natural part of the game, he not just doesn't do, he refuses to do it. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Coming up, I think we have to honor the icing tradition on our Twitch channel because we were iced and we got to take it like men.
Yes.
Now, and one lady.
And lady.
But she's kind of one of us.
Take it as grown-ups.
One of us. One of us.
We have to take it as grown-ups. And one last time, we'll also let you hear from Jose Altuve. and why he wouldn't take his jersey off.
Did you see Rosenthal went on Twitter and was like, oh, for all you people out there that are saying something, somebody threw it at me. I knew that I was asking a particular question. Hardly. I just got onto the field, and a producer said into my ear that he wouldn't let his teammates rip off. That's why I asked the question.
Oh, so he did address that on social media as well.
Yeah.
I don't care. I like your theory, Bob.
I don't believe him.
Yeah. I don't believe
you. I like
your
theory better, Bob.
Thank you. Yes.
610-632-0975. Time at the Fanatic is 9:40.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5, The Fanatic.
I think without question, our tool of the week is the person whose voice you'll hear next. Here is Jose Altuve being interviewed by Ken Rosenthal. Bob was just alluding to this a second ago after he crossed home plate. Did not want his players, his teammates ripping his jersey off because apparently, allegedly, it would have showed a device that helped him cheat. Here's Jose Altuve with Ken Rosenthal.
You asked the teammates not to tear your shirt. Why? Your teammates not to tear your shirt. Why was that?
I don't know. I'm too shy. Last time they did that, I got in trouble with my wife.
Wow. That laugh is...
It's something special, isn't it?
Yeah.
Holland's True Value and Garden Center brings us our tool of the week each and every week. If you need it, remember, Holland's has it. Coming up, we'll give you our big sexy report. Calvin, West Philly. What's going on, Calvin?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey.
Hey, man, listen, I'm listening to everybody calling in about Ben, man, but there's one thing that I never hear anybody talk about. And, you know, like, it's the complete arrogance that he has that I think drives everybody crazy, like just refusing. It's almost like your kid refusing to put their shoes on or go to bed. It's almost like you're dealing with a child. All you got to do is go to his 30 for 30. I think it's 30 for 30 when he was in LSU. He didn't even want to go to class, man. He got a double major in basket weaving. He didn't even want to do that. He was mad that he had to go to class. He was talking about he thought LSU should be paying him. He was worried about all the money they're making. Like, he's about the money, man. And I don't know why anyone didn't look at that interview. I don't know if you guys saw that with his sister. And that's all he talked about. Like, he had an attitude before he got out of school. The other thing I
want to. Yeah, I don't think it was 30 for 30. I think that was his own docudrama.
Okay, go look at that. Yeah. Look at that.
Yeah, I know. I know what you're alluding to. Yeah.
You'll see that the guy you got now is the same guy that's in that show.
Yeah, and that was actually Calvin. If you watched him in LSU, and thanks for the call. If you watched him at LSU, that was one of the concerns I had, is that you never want to see the guy that you're about to take with the number one overall pick look lackadaisical or look like a guy who's disinterested. And in his last couple of games, well, really, there were points throughout the season at LSU, but especially in the last couple of games, he looked disinterested.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he just didn't look like a guy who wanted to be playing basketball at any point.
Yeah.
And then also say, no, I'm good on the NIT. Like, I'm done. Like, I'm done with the college experiment. I've done my family favor. I'm out.
Yeah. And I ran into his college coach. I told you this story once before in Las Vegas. I was out there for the Sixers camp, and he came into the – I was having dinner at the bar, and he came in. I just went over and introduced myself and said, you know, I cover the 76ers. And he sat down with me, and we had a good long talk, and he said, look, Ben's not the guy that people think he is. We had a horrible season down there. There was a lot of, you know, mitigating factors that made it what it was. But Philly's going to love him because I know what a tough town Philly is. He's that. And, you know, he's going to be everything that you wished for. And genuine guy. Well, I don't know why I'm a common last name.
What was Jackson?
Was it
Jackson?
I forget.
Roosevelt. But,
he was actually going to scout Smith. Shaquille O'Neal's son the next day. But yeah, he was convinced that Ben was a perfect fit for Philadelphia.
Hey, real quick, Schefter tweet that has some Eagles implications. Just came out. Eagles VP of football ops Andrew Berry is interviewing for the Browns GM job today. Look for Berry to interview with Carolina after the draft if the GM job in Cleveland doesn't happen. So I read he's as good as gone.
Aren't they doing two different interviews in the same day?
The Browns?
Yeah.
That would be a Browns thing to do, so probably.
Johnny Jones. Was it Johnny Jones?
Jackson.
Bob? Oh. I'm sorry. Jones.
James.
Yeah.
Okay.
O'Neal.
Mutombo. It was Mutombo. All right. Sam, can you give us our final on our Twitter poll, please?
Today we asked, do you want Ben Simmons to make the All-Star team? We have just under 3,400 votes today. 57% said no, they do not.
Oh, look at that. People voted against. How many votes against him?
57. Oh, the total?
How many votes? Total
3,400.
crummy Philadelphia sports fans.
Hey, we're truthers.
I don't want to make it.
That's all that really matters here. It's all that really matters. By the way, our big sexy report brought to you by Delilah's Gentleman's Club and Steakhouse, always on top. None other than the man who's about to have a park named after him.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Trey Thomas. You're our big sexy report.
Pretty damn cool.
Yeah, baby. Way to go, Trey.
Yeah,
Sam,
all right.
What is your takeaway of the day?
My takeaway of the day is congrats, Trey.
Thank you.
That's very nice. Jamie Lynch.
My takeaway of the day is I wouldn't be opposed to Jose Altuve getting a lifetime suspension from baseball if it's proven true.
If proven true.
Which makes me sad because I used to love him.
I think a lot of people did.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Rob Manfred's like, you're suspended for life. You're banned. Bob Cooney.
A special happy birthday today to one of Trey's favorite women.
Oh, yeah?
Betty White is 98 years
old.
Trey, congratulations.
Thank you.
Great honor
thank you.
For a great man.
Thank you. Thank you.
Trey, congrats.
Yeah, thank you, man. Just got to get up early in the morning.
Now we're going to have to do this, aren't we?
Tice, you guys.
That is so
so funny. Worth it, though.
Real quick, we had a guest in studio today, Jake, not from State Farm. Jake, what was your takeaway today, my friend?
He's wearing khakis.
He is wearing khakis.
Khakis?
First of all, Trey, congratulations.
Thank you.
All of that. Very nice.
Mark, I just appreciate you having me on.
See
all the ins and outs.
I appreciate
you having me.
Shout out Mike Carty. Set it up, my friend.
Appreciate it, Mike.
Absolutely. All right. I think this is my takeaway of the day.
We have an extra ice for Jake?
Oh, of course we do.
Oh, okay, good.
I'll go get some.
No.
Oh, okay.
We're not doing that. Jake is of age, but I have a connection to his father, and I'm not going down that road.
His dad wouldn't want him to break the rules, right?
Everybody knows the rules. Sorry. All right, everyone, this is on Twitch. Here you go. Take a knee.
You do take a knee.
But you'll be out of the camera angle.
Will I?
Yeah,
I got a big fat head.
I'll join you.
I got a big fat head. Trey, you bastard.
Wait, yeah. We have to take a knee while we
take
this?
Oh, yeah, you got
to
take a knee.
Are we all doing it?
Oh, yeah, you must,
oh,
Sam.
Gosh.
It's your turn. Yeah.
That's the ice. Yeah.
First time.
Woo.
I think I just got diabetes.
There's so much
blood. I look like that bachelor girl right there.
Oh, it's disgusting.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
Trey, congratulations on your park. Make sure you check under the first swing, you jerk. Stay tuned for the Anthony Gargano Show. Time of the Fanatic, 9:54.
97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.